The Jersey Boys is back in Chicago, the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons at the Mercury Theater in Chicago. And we almost have Frankie Valli on the radio. Michael Metcalf is here, and Adrian Aguilar is here as well. Michael plays Frankie Valli, and Adrian, you play sort of a guy that I would never want to lend money to, Tommy DeVito. We will talk about why. So, Adrian, you've been nominated for a Jefferson Award way back when in 2012 for Tick, Tick, Boom at the Porchlight Theater. You've performed all over Chicago. And Michael, my gosh, your credits include Shrek the Musical, Rock of Ages, Camelot, Footloose, Little Shop of Horrors, and Once Upon a Mattress, which is kind of newsworthy now in a way because... let me explain that. Carol Burnett is in the news for the TV series she is in, and at the age of 90, and she began off-Broadway in the same show, Once Upon a Mattress. I assume you were not in that production, however, Michael.
Unfortunately, I wasn't, but that's so cool that she's still going. Like Frankie Valli, she's still going, 90 years old. Good for her.
Absolutely. And Frankie Valli is indeed, I think, isn't he in Las Vegas now about to begin a residency, I read somewhere, in Vegas?
That sounds about right. He's still touring with the Four Seasons.
Yeah, well, or this incarnation of the Four Seasons. So I want to ask both of you how you first heard about this show. I'll begin with you, Adrian. And did you even know Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons and their music? Because this predates you, I'm sure.
I think I'm the biggest fanboy in the cast, I would say. So my parents raised me not on my own generation of music. It's always been sort of like a fun piece of my personality that all my different friend groups have commented on over the years, is they're all like, how come you only know 50s, 60s, and 70s music, and you're not interested at all in any music of today? So I was actually a huge fan of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons when I was starting about 11 or 12. When I was in like fifth grade, I got a two-disc compilation of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons collection. And I was like up in my room with my little disc man. Michael, you don't know what a disc man was, but
I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. This was before your little smartphone. Okay. I was like up in my room writing down the lyrics to Dawn and stuff like that. So I've been a huge mega fan of the catalog for how old am I? 25 years plus. At this point, almost 30 years. And then when I was in college, I remember hearing about them making a show out of it. And honestly, I had the same reaction that I did when Rocky the Musical started coming along, which is my initial reaction was, oh, please don't mess up this thing that I love. And of course, they didn't. They nailed it. And when I saw them perform on the Tonys in the summer of, I believe, 2006.
Yeah.
That was when I looked at Christian Hoff and what he was doing on the stage, and I went, okay, that's my role. Someday I'm going to do that. Someday I'm going to get it. And it took 20 years, but here I am.
Now, I'm not sure this is true, so you'll have to verify, but someone told me, as they say, a little birdie told me, and it may not be true, it may not be true, that you kind of like were stepping back from the theater for a while until this role came about. Is that the case?
That's pretty true. Yeah. So I have another running joke about me. I love running jokes about me and rumors about me. It's one of my favorite things. And I'm not being sarcastic. It cracked me up.
I can attest to that.
I have. One of the running jokes about me is that I've retired from this business like 8 times, like 8 separate times. I have announced to the public I will not be doing this anymore. And the most recent time was actually, let's see, I think it was 2017. I did a string of shows. I did Saturday Night Fever at Drury Lane. And then I went up to Wisconsin to do my 5th production of Guys and Dolls. And then I think I did one other thing at Northwestern. And just with my family life, they've always been my priority. My wife, my son, who just turned 11. The time was not right for me to keep going on that. And I was doing other things. I was working as a personal trainer and managing a couple of gyms on the north side of Chicago. And so I just kind of stopped pursuing performing for a long time. And I popped out of retirement last minute to do the show Holiday Inn at Drury Lane in the winter of, that must have been 21 into 22, I think, because one of my dear friends, Matt Kroll, who was directing that show, lost his lead role on about 5 weeks' notice. And he texted me and said, is there any chance that you can come out of retirement and do this one role? So I've kind of popped onto the stage here and there when needed, but I haven't actively sort of pursued this since about 2017, I would say.
But when you,
yeah, Adrian, would you say that every time they that you thought you were out, they pulled you back in?
That's what people say to me every time. I've got, it's funny, every time I'm not a big self-promoter either. So every time a cast list will come out or something, I get a bevy of texts that are either someone quoting that or sending gifs of that, or a different sect of people that I roll with will send me like memes with someone that has pasted my face onto Cher, who keeps retiring and coming out
yes.
of retirement,
yep.
or Tom Brady, who keeps retiring and coming out of retirement. So yeah, it's a good running joke that it happens all the time.
I like it.
I've never really, I don't think I'm ever fully going to be out of it. It's just, you know, my priorities are my family, and we've gone through a lot of different chapters, and my wife recently went back to school and got her master's, and
nice.
Now she works at Northwestern, and now my son is 11, and so things just shift, and the time is right for me to start doing this again, and this was the perfect opportunity, because it's been one of my only bucket list roles for 20 years.
Michael, you're offered this role, or you try out for the role, you get it as Frankie Valli, and you have to hit those notes that are so, these are false falsetto. They are so high. That's going to be challenging night after night after night after night after night.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this show has really, like, Frankie had such an extraordinary vocal range, right? And such a great technique that it's been probably the most challenging task that I've had to do in theater so far, is to replicate that performance. Like you said, night after night, 6-7 times a week. And it's kind of tested my limits and required me to be very disciplined and dedicated. And I tell Adrian all the time, I say, don't let me go out. Don't let me drink anything after the show. Just water. It's water, water, water.
Well, it's water, water, water for the Jersey Boys, the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons at the Mercury Theater, Chicago. That's on Southport Avenue. It is just, 4 blocks or so west of Wrigley Field. And I'll tell you, the theater has been redone a bit for this specific show. And you've been extended already. I'm not surprised. It is terrific. Adrian Aguilar and Michael Metcalf are both here from Jersey Boys. Adrian, you play a role that people might not be familiar with, but it turns out it's greatly based on fact about Tommy DeVito, who kind of put the group together, held the group together, and then if it wasn't for Frankie Valli, would have fallen apart, and he kind of personally did fall apart anyway. Can you talk a little about that? And the backstory is that you'll see on stage when you go to see the Jersey Boys at Mercury Theater Chicago is based on truth, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, as with anything that's going to be, your sort of biopic or something like that, there's always going to be a little bit of liberties taken. But this is, the show is largely based on what actually happened, which is a pretty amazing story in general. And it's one of my favorite, personally, it's one of my favorite kind of stories. I always tell people my favorite movie is That Thing You Do, which is that you start with your little, your couple of guys who are playing in their garage, and then they find the magic piece of the puzzle where they go, oh, that drummer, and that really unlocks things, and then there's this rise to stardom, and then maybe there's drama at the top of the mountain, right? So Tommy DeVito was sort of the architect of, well, I wouldn't say he's there. I said Bob is more the architect. He was kind of the engine behind, at least that's how I view him in the show, kind of the engine behind things. He was the one with the drive. He was the one that was absolutely obsessed with creating a group and making it in that way. He says at the top of the show that in their neighborhood, there was really only three ways to achieve success. You could either join the army, you could join the mafia, or you could find a way to become a star. And so he was determined to become a star. And so he held things together through different band members coming in and out and different band members going to jail and coming out, and was the one that ultimately found and sort of mentored Frankie Valli when Frankie was young, and held it together just long enough for them to accidentally find and get connected with Bob Gaudio, who was the one who wrote all of the iconic songs. So it's kind of that magic of watching one guy work his way through and go, okay, I've already got the bass player. Now I've got the vocalist. Now I've got the songwriter. And now we've got a band. Now we've got magic, right? But ultimately, he was a problematic guy. But who isn't? Aren't we all?
Well, he ended up,
Michael's
I
laughing.
Think...
Michael's laughing extra hard because he shares a dressing room with me, so he knows how problematic I can be.
Well, and in fact, that may be true. I don't want to get into that. But I do want to talk about this. So he ended up moving to Vegas because he kind of had to find somewhere to go. He had family there. And in the meantime, it was Frankie Valli and the writer that you mentioned that wrote all those songs who held it together. And luckily, there were all these hit songs that came later because they had to pay off, or they wanted to. They volunteered to pay off your debt because you couldn't keep the money. Now, I want to ask you, Michael, of all the songs you sing, and it's amazing because in the audience, you can see, you look around, and I don't know if you notice this, you see instant recognition, song after song, and you know, you forget how many hit records and through how many decades those hit records happened. So what is your favorite song to sing, and what is the hardest one for you to sing?
My favorite song to sing, I think it might be a little cliche, but it's definitely Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. I think the buildup to that song in the second act is so, like, it's just done so well, where they keep talking about this song that Bob Crew and Bob Gaudio had written for Frankie Valli, a solo number just for him. It was like the one that kind of kickstarted him as a single. And it's just, I mean, everybody knows that song. And I see when the lights come up on the audience, like you said, I can just see everybody's recognition. People are singing along with me in their seats. They're swaying. They're clapping along. It's just an absolutely, like, wonderful moment in the show for me. And then in terms of hard songs, I would definitely say it's actually three of them that we do back to back to back. And that's, of course, the iconic three numbers, Sherry, Walk Like a Man, and Big Girls Don't Cry. Just having to replicate Frankie's falsetto and his head voice is most certainly the most difficult leg of the show for me to be like, okay, let's do it.
Well, I can understand that. And those were songs that go back to earlier in the four seasons. And it's amazing because here's what's amazing. Frankie Valli is still out. Now, he's not recording anymore, but he is still out there. He's 89 years old, and he's still performing. And I saw an interview with him that was just done. YouTube has the most amazing material for me, like, you know, to research conversations like this. And he said his inspiration as a kid was someone else who's from New Jersey, and that is Frank Sinatra. And his most amazing thing he had ever done was go to a Frank Sinatra concert. And I thought that was interesting. If he didn't do what he does now for a living, do you guys have any idea what Frankie Valli says he would have done? Either of you?
I feel like I know this. I feel like this got brought up early on in the rehearsal process, but I can't remember what it was.
He would be a barber or a hairdresser.
Barber.
Yeah, and he says he still sometimes cuts his own hair, actually. So
that also makes sense.
I'm sorry?
I said that also makes sense.
Are you commenting on his hairstyle? And hey, that's okay. Anyone who survives and thrives in the entertainment industry for, I don't know, six decades, I mean, that says something, doesn't it? And how he's changed, you know, when disco came about, suddenly he was adjusting to what was popular at that time, actually.
I was going to mention that while Michael was talking, while you were asking, when you were listing how many of their songs and things were in the show, is this show, it's an incredible marathon of songs that you just can't believe how many hits there were. And they don't even cover some of my favorites. Like I said, I'm a deep dive. Like, I've been a big fanboy since before any of this musical even came into the picture. And some of those disco songs, like Our Day Will Come, or Michael and I were just jamming, Grease, Frankie Valli's Grease, in the dressing room. Like, there are even more hits that they couldn't even fit into a 2.5-hour show. It's really incredible.
And it turns out, I can't take my eyes off of you. I didn't know this. Of all of the songs that Frankie Valli and Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons recorded, that is the one song that has been covered by other artists more than any other song.
About how many covers there have been of it. I mean, it's just one of the it's truly one of the most unique songs that you'll ever hear. Nothing sounds like that song.
Well, before we run out of time, and we are almost out of time, for both of you, quickly, what is the best thing about doing this show, Adrian?
The joy we bring to the audience. Absolutely. This is something I discussed with Walter when we first started. The fact that I get to stand up there, and like you said, I can actually look out into this small, intimate space and see people smiling, see people dancing, singing along, tapping their toes.
Yep.
My character gets to make everybody laugh a lot. That is 100% the reason to do it, and that's 100% the reason that I get on stage every night.
Yeah, pulled you out of retirement, yet again, apparently. Because you like spending time with your family, you say, even though you didn't mention Meatball, which surprises me. Now, that's his dog, by the way. For you, Michael, the best thing about doing the show?
I mean, to piggyback off of Adrian, it's definitely just getting to do this and seeing the audience reaction. But also, I just love the moments that we find in the show. And the more we do it and the more times we get up there, the moments that we can find with each other to play around and to find those connections. And one of my favorite moments of the show is when Bob finally sits down at the piano and he begins to play. And it's the first time that all four guys come together. It's just magical, and you can even like feel it in the audience that they're like, here it is. These are the four guys. This is the Four Seasons. So that for me is just getting to replicate that every night.
Well, for what it's worth, I agree too. Jersey Boys, the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons at the Mercury Theater, Chicago, just west of Wrigley Field. Thank you guys, and enjoy what will be and what has been a great run. Thank you.
Thank you so much.